Yeah, guys, we're live on the show. Game On with Femi and the gang on 99.39 G94. It's beautiful to be here. It's the final Monday in the month of September 2023. And I feel like giving you the right decree that you'll be going to a higher degree by the time you're done with listening to the show tonight. Coming up on the broadcast this evening, we can look back at match day 6 in the Premier League as the race for the title continues for the top side. Arsenal, Tottenham dropping points, Manchester United getting back to winning ways, Chelsea still struggling, and Manchester City alongside Liverpool looking like the best of the pack at the moment. Also, we can have our eyes on the Nigerian Youth Games taking place in Asaba in Delta State right now. We have a superstar young star from Lagos who's creating a bit of history for herself as a golfer. In Formula One, Max Verstappen is still making things happen as his team Red Bull smiled to the Constructors' title. And how about Victor Osimhen and the potential punishment for the Nigerian star for his attitude in Napoli's draw in the Italian Serie A over the weekend? We have details of these and more to excite you on the Game On show. Welcome, let's go. Alrighty, no time to waste at all as we, as Femi and the gang that we are, certainly delve into all of these tantalizing stories almost immediately. I'm always on a TV driving the show on Monday evenings. I'm your host, I'm not a ghost. I'm here to give you the best of my presentation toast because this is my duty post. And for now, I, you and my colleagues control this coast. That's not me having to boast. One thing is sure, we will not let you roast for sure. Well, let's delve into it, shall we? Best time to say hi to the guys in the studio. Brownish is somewhere around the place of a dose trying to ensure that he saves the right sound for me. Well, right now we have Adeze Michael in the mix. Good evening to you, Adeze.
Good evening, Chuma. Good evening, Lagos. Feels good to be here. It's Monday night. I was going to say Monday night football. No, it's Monday night Game On. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, it is Monday night Game On for sure. And Game On comes around on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays and Fridays too, if you're listening to us for the very first time. Now, we can get into it. Results of games that we saw over the weekend. Let's start with that. It's the most exciting league in the world. And in the absence of action in the Nigeria Premier Football League, for now at least, we can, of course, maximise the fun that the Premier League has to offer us. Crystal Palace and Fulham played out a 0-0 draw in one of the early kickoffs on Saturday. Luton and Wolverhampton Wanderers, for them, it ended even Stevens 1-1 in their fixture. Man City running out 2-0 victors over Nottingham Forest. And the Citizens played the second half with 10 men after Rodri was sent off, but they were stringent enough in defence to still keep a clean sheet, which was good for me and my FPL team with Ederson Moraes. Yeah, not conceding in that one. Brentford losing to Everton by 3-1. Everton, I'm happy for them. Shao, finally, they've been able to get a victory somehow. And it's Dominic Calvert-Lewin who gave them their win when he scored the third goal to just confirm that that victory was going to be theirs in that 3-1 success against the team that were trying to be party spoilers in Brentford. And Burnley lost to Manchester United by a goal to nothing. Vincent Kompany doesn't seem to be in the right company now. He's in the relegation company. That's where he is now because his team are bottom on the table, unfortunately for them. A team that were champions of the championship last season. Arsenal 2, Tottenham Hotspur 2 was the result that stood out because that was the standout fixture for the weekend. And that London derby, these two sides not ready to be undone in London. Thank you so much, Abadouz. God bless you, bro. And they got the fans turned on with the fact that they gave us 4 goals in that. Arsenal thought they could have run away with the victory for themselves. So many Arsenal fans were still not happy at this time. One of those, my head of news, Ifeoma Egbuameno, who said the show just before I came on board. The newsroom show. And he was saying, Chuma, when I turned off the mic, come on, we should have won that game. We should have won that game. You know, Arsenal having Cristiano Romero scoring an own goal to give them the advantage. Heung-min Son making it 1-1. And then Bukayo Saka scored from the penalty spot to make it 2-1. Heung-min Son responded again for Spurs. They certainly are spurred on with Ange Postecoglou in that 2-0 draw. They're still unbeaten, just like the Gunners, after 6 games this season in the EPL. Brighton 3, Bournemouth 1 was another result. And for Liverpool, they were 3-1 better than West Ham United. The Anfield Giants are acting like they're going to be the biggest threat to Man City's dominance in this league. Mohamed Salah, Darwin Nunes and Diego Jota, the goal scorers for Jurgen Klopp's boys in that. And for Sheffield United, they didn't play well. They were not united when they had a chance to Sheffield with Newcastle, because they conceded 8 goals in that game. Newcastle having 8 different goal scorers in the fixture. Perfect picture for them. A massive victory that was, for sure. Well, they say you save the best for the last, but this one, I'm not sure is the best, especially for fans of this darling side that puts on blue in Chelsea, you know, who lost to Aston Villa by a goal to nothing. And that goal scored by Ollie Watkins. What that has done to the Blues is they still are on just 1 victory in 6 games in the Premier League this season. Crazy stuff, isn't it? And there are already conversations of what the future should be for the managerial department of that side. Let's listen to Mauricio Pochettino, the boss of the Blues, before we get into our major conversation for this first part of Game On.
Well, I think talking about the game is first half, I think we deserve a little bit more. I think we had the control of the game. And then the second half, I think we start on the top of them, but after with the red card, the game changed, and we need to charge maybe 60 minutes until 11-11, and then with 10 men. It's 2 different games.
What do you think of the red card?
Being honest, it was in front of me, but I didn't see, and now I still didn't see. I cannot say that wasn't red card. And then we need to trust on the referees and the VAR, and then we cannot, you know, come back on the decision. We need to accept that, and then it's difficult to judge because I didn't see. Like I said before, we need to trust.
Yeah, so, you know, Gusto was sent off, right, in the fiction, and he felt like that could be a good excuse as to why Chelsea lost at the Stamford Bridge to Aston Villa. But like I mentioned, Man City had their star man Rodri sent off, but did not concede. They kept a clean sheet in their 2-0 success in their own fixture, right? Sometimes it feels like it gets tiring having to talk about this, because it feels like, guy, allow these people to drink water and drop cup now, like a friend of mine who say in Pigeon. But when it becomes a recurring decimal, you cannot run away from it because of the magnitude of this side. They are a massive bunch. In fact, in the last decade, they are the only Premier League team that have gone on to be crowned champions of Europe twice. That's how big Chelsea is as a team. So when things are not going too well for them, you wouldn't blame people for talking about it. And I'm keen to find out from Adeze, from Brownish and from Overdose, how much more time Pochettino should be given before any conversation of sack or no sack comes up, because I feel that it's going to be very unfair to even start the conversation of sack now, not just 6 games into the new season now, I beg. You know, but how much longer will Chelsea keep losing games like this and dropping points like this before, you know, people even start thinking about it, that potential conversation around a sack or not, Adeze?
Oh, well,
yeah.
I think that it's... I don't think this is a question of a sack right now, because the outcome of yesterday's game, the outcome of Nottingham Forest game, would be a good day for reputation of Graham Potter and Frank Lampard. I mean, like every other weekend, these managers will say, Okpeo, you know how we say in the local parlance, Okpeo. Graham Potter was belittled, he was abused. They said that he didn't have the right character and the charisma to take to handle a big club like Chelsea. He was called naive, he was called weak. Lampard was called out of his depth, out of sorts. But now it is Mauricio Pochettino's turn to suffer. Managing Chelsea itself is even a bad mental health for these managers, because your mental health will be in question. It's a madhouse right now. It's formerly known as one of the best and most successful football clubs in Europe, but right now is now a madhouse FC. I think that all of this is not boiled down to coaches, so that's why sack should be very far.
Okay.
Remember that Todd Boehly's idea in buying a Premier League club is the North and Southern League. So how can somebody like that with that mentality run a proper football club? I have to look at Newcastle. Let me take them back to Newcastle. They brought in a good manager. Mm. They brought in a good players. They recruited good recruiters, because when you're recruiting, you have to recruit people that are good recruiters. Mm. So I think that this is not even a question of Pochettino. I even feel for him. It's down to Egbali and Todd Boehly that think that they're the smartest men in the room. Mm. Allow me, I know how to run this football. And it's getting bad. They are going to face City, Man United, Brighton in the coming days. It could even get worse. Before, if they want to go on relegation, fine. So long as they will learn their lessons. First off, you should be buying players that will take you to the next level. Mm. Not buying players that you think are flashy out there in the market. Look at the game yesterday. Boubacari Kamara and Douglas Luiz. Two midfielders combined £15 million. That was what it cost Aston Villa. But Chelsea had £220 million players on the pitch. Both of them outrun by players that cost £15 million. Mm. So sometimes it's not about money. It's about the smart recruitment. So anyone saying Pochettino should... it's not even a sack issue. All I see is collection of random players assembled in a supermarket dash trolley. Now you just go with the trolley around the supermarket. You're just picking items. You're dumping it there. It doesn't matter if you need them or not. You just want to see them in your house. That's what I see. So it's really a sad situation that Chelsea are in a mess right now. We're not surprised. It's a scattergun. Every blame has to go to Ed Bagdali and Todd Boehly, the two partners that own the club. And Ed Bagdali has been visiting Chelsea's dressing room lately. Mm. And it will also spark more debate. You don't do that. Less interfering. Yeah, you own the club. Just stay away. Let the players and the coaches sort it out. Every time he's at Stamford Bridge, at the end of the game, he goes to the locker room to do what? Are you the coach? Are you the team manager? Are you the physio? You're not supposed to be there. So all of this pressure, drama, scattergun and all that, it's a problem for the club. And I mean, like I said, they're fighting relegation. And if they're not careful, they're going to go down.
Okay, so if they keep struggling like this until the end of the season, there should still not be a conversation about sacking the coach.
Exactly, because you have to stick with somebody. At least stand by a coach, because all of these coaches, Graham Potter did not turn a bad coach overnight. And this problem, Truma, is not even a Pochettino thingy. They've won only one Premier League since. Two victories since Graham Potter was sacked. Chelsea have not beaten any top flight club since Tottenham Hotspur, January 2022.
Oh, wow.
Chelsea have not beaten a top six club since January 2022. The last club they beat was Tottenham Hotspur, 2-0 success. Yes, they beat AC Milan, Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League. But the loss against Aston Villa wasn't even a surprise. So I think for me, there are injury causes also. Remember, that could also be a factor because some of the players could come in and have a say. After only beating Luton Town, that's all. They've been struggling in the Premier League.
The commentator mentioned, which is the reality, Aston Villa also have injury concerns.
Exactly.
Many times it's always easy to throw in these excuses for a Chelsea team. But people are saying, hey, you know, it's like when you're not giving your father the right result after he pays your school fees and you keep saying, oh, my sandals caught, or I did this, or I did that. Guy, keep the excuses and show me why you should be able to deliver. Or you're an on-air personality, you know, like overdose, and you're coming in and you're known for your quality, and then you know, they'll be like, guy, we know what you can do. Leave this thing of excuse. Do what you can do, as always, really. So, Diesel, we have a commercial break in a bit, right? But I want you to just build, lay the foundation in 60 seconds if you can. You come back to build the structure on that foundation.
Yeah.
She says, this is timeless. Well done to Overdose. And you know, yeah, Bonner Boy guy, but well done to OBO fans, you know. She says it's timeless. So even if Chelsea keeps struggling till the season ends, don't talk about exit and sack for Pochettino, because she says the rot in the team is beyond sacking a coach. What do you say?
I don't think it's beyond sacking a coach, and I'll tell you why. The big teams, the biggest teams in the world, have actually got rid of managers, and a club like Chelsea, I mean, when was the last time Chelsea wallowed in 14th position? Now you even look at this Chelsea side and you look at the fact that yes, they do have advantage in the sense that they don't play the Champions League or the Europa League, or even the Conference League, which means they have enough time to rest. Now, these guys cannot even as much as score goals, entertain the fans, even inspire confidence. That alone tells me that the man at the helm is not doing enough, because he's the one sanctioning the buying of players. I know he's sanctioned, you know, the buy of some of the players, Nicholas Jackson, you know, et al. And then you look at the fact that Chelsea were inspiring in preseason, which is why I begin to wonder if this is not a conspiracy against the manager. Because, Mauricio Pochettino got some good results. Yeah. And, Nicholas Jackson was like, did a Drogba reborn? you know, in preseason, but you come to the league and then you're struggling.
All right,
Raheem Sterling is...
That's the foundation I want. Yeah. Overdose is going to build a structure on this foundation after a quick commercial break. Now, speaking about Overdose, because he has to, you know, really give us the full dose of what he was saying before a commercial break, right?
I see what you did there. See what you did there. Overdose, full dose.
He said, I was laughing in Efik.
Never an underdose.
I was laughing in Efik. Brownie, that laughter is pigeon laughter. Well, have you guys thought about it before, actually?
Yeah.
If laughter were to have languages.
Omo. The Igbo laughter.
I know the villain laughter.
Yeah, definitely.
Cartoons,
yeah. Exactly.
I'm just teasing you,
though,
man.
Yeah, but I know.
Ronish also has that evil laughter too.
He does.
That's more evil than anything else, bro.
Maybe he's more evil than I am.
Well, you know, Chelsea are going through so much evil now.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what is bedeviling them. Because when you look at it, it's really sad to see.
You know how beans struggles with weevils?
Mm.
They eat up the beans.
Mm.
Chelsea struggling with evil and weevil.
And even their fans right now, they marvel at how low Chelsea have come.
You when know, they go to the really... DC.
And they scatter them like gravel.
Okay, jokes apart, looking at Chelsea now.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when John Obi Mikel played that, friendly charity game or All-Star game? And then he was interviewed after it and he said, let them bring the old guys back. But he said it jokingly.
Yeah.
I think that's what they should do now. Bring back John Terry. Bring back Peter Cech. Because right now, the Chelsea guys, Madueke, Noni, Madueke, Malo Gusto, Enzo Fernandez, Jackson, Raheem Sterling, they're just not portraying the club in good light. And
when you say Jackson,
Michael.
And I know I'm speaking for every Chelsea fan right now, because at the end of the day, Chelsea are traditionally a big club.
Yes, they
jokes
are.
Apart.
Yeah.
Let's not even argue about that. They're traditionally a big club, a club that's won the FA Cup, they've won the Champions League, they've won the Premier League.
Like I mentioned,
under Mourinho.
Yeah, bro. Sorry.
Yeah.
For all of the successes of the big boys, even
exactly,
Man City,
exactly.
Chelsea are the only team from England who have won the Champions League twice in the last decade.
And they've won the Europa League
from England.
They've won the Europa League.
They've won even the Champions League.
Yes, under Benitez.
2021 Champions League.
Exactly.
2019 Europa League or something like that.
Yeah.
The one where they beat Arsenal in the final. So as in, that's how successful Chelsea are. And then we're now seeing Chelsea last season 12th. Chelsea now 14th.
I'm telling you.
So that's what I'm asking.
How much
longer, right, does Pochettino have for them to keep struggling? Maybe they should sack him.
I think he should be given a three-match ultimatum. He should start from now to
MPFL.
I'm telling you, see, Chuma, jokes apart, that man is ruining Chelsea Football Club. I know that, yes, you know, the players are not putting the body into the game. It's
Jackson.
I would say for me, it's the ability to not adapt to situations, especially when the game is not going their way. They struggle to interpret the game. It's like they have this mindset of, okay, let's go into this game to win. And once they don't win, or once they are not getting the chances, they just lose concentration and then they start failing to take their chances. Imagine Chelsea wanting to dribble into the box when you even have a chance to shoot from outside. Look at Martin Odegaard. Look at Bruno Fernandes. These are guys that will shoot from outside the box. But when last did you see a Chelsea midfielder wanting to shoot from outside the box? Maybe during the days of Mason Mount, and then once in a while, Conor Gallagher. Enzo want to pass, right? He's telling you want to dribble, you know, four men in front of him. You don't do that. You look for the free man. You pass the ball. Nicolas Jackson will see open net. He will skyrocket it. I don't know why, but it's like, first off, and this is me being serious. Chelsea need to apologize to Roman Abramovich. The way they took the club from him, I think the man has cursed Chelsea. Jokes apart. Because when you look at Chelsea under Roman Abramovich, you could tell that these guys wanted to play football. But immediately they sold that club and he didn't get a penny from the sale of Chelsea because he was affiliated to whatever. They had to start playing like this. And I'm sure the man has cursed the club. Two, they should see a shrink, each and every one of those Chelsea players, yeah. they should spend at least 1 week with a psychologist. Let him evaluate their mind. Ask them critical questions. Do you still want to play football? Do you still want to play for Chelsea? How eager are you to show yourself? How eager? Because, I mean, it's like Chelsea and Man U are going through the same problems, but you could, you know, make a case for Man U that, okay, they have injury worries.
Yeah.
They are missing key players.
You can also make a case for Chelsea, they have injury worries. So if you're going to go...
My brother, they have a full squad.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, they have like two squads.
You mentioned Man U. I'm going to come to Brownish shortly. I want to go to the phone lines now, right? Because the dimension and the direction I'm going to Brownish through is just a continuation of where you stopped and not necessarily what exactly you were saying.
No, see, Chuma, before you go to him, I don't like Chelsea, to be honest.
Yeah, but you're still
feel
for them.
But I feel, sincerely, I feel for them because I wanted them to even beat Aston Villa.
Yeah,
I have a question for you. Struggle.
Yeah.
Dizu, are you okay? Dizu, are you okay? Oh. Are you okay, Dizu? Oh. You've been hit by, you've been struck by, smooth.
What in the Jackson are you guys doing in this studio? Nicholas, take it easy, please. Nicholas. All right, let's get to the phone lines right now. Brownish will speak to me shortly.
Oh, my goodness.
And the question I'll have for Brownish will be what Overdose said, which is he's trying to juxtapose. Overdose is trying to juxtapose and impose Manchester United into this conversation. That's not what I want him to propose.
As the one God chose.
You know, no, seriously. And I know why. Because I said this actually when I came through for the show on Saturday. And I said something like, in all of the struggles of Arsenal, Man U, Liverpool, because every team has a phase where they go through things, you know, and I know that's what Chelsea fans are saying too. But my concern for Chelsea is not that they're going through a phase, because every team does. Barcelona had their own, even amid the financial crisis, they still won La Liga, right?
Yeah.
We've seen even the almighty Bayern having to win the Bundesliga on the final day of the season. So teams, PSG have had theirs, everybody has their phase. But Chelsea phase, as in Ibad, you get 12th last season, 14th now. The worst Arsenal have ever finished on the Premier League table. That was even before they became the big Arsenal in the Premier League. It was the 94-95 season. They were 12th that season. The worst Manchester United have ever finished on the Premier League table since 92 is 7th.
Yes.
That's the worst of Manchester United, 7th. Worst Liverpool have finished is somewhere around, I think, 9th or 7th or something like that. So, but Chelsea, 12th last season, 14th as we speak right now. It's not normal, man. Let's get to the phone lines and then Brownish will respond to me shortly. Guys, it's a simple question, like I said. Because I know that... There are going to be people, you know, having this discussion shortly, right? I don't think enough people have started saying anything about it. So I'm saying it's just 6 games into the new season. I've also heard people say there's time, give these guys time. And I think I buy into that. But sometimes when you want to give somebody time, you need to see signs that there are signs of things improving.
And you need
right?
to have Curry. Yes, yeah, you know, give
yeah,
them
yeah,
time.
Just to spice things up, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So how much more time should Pochettino have before anybody starts saying anything about Sack, right? How much more time should he have to turn around Chelsea's fortunes before a conversation of Sack comes into the picture? You know, if Chelsea keeps struggling like this, what's the elastic limit, as the word is, for you as a Chelsea fan out there, for non-Chelsea fans? When would he get to that elastic limit where you're like, enough is enough? Nalai, they need to sack this guy now. So how much more time does he have? You know,
three matches.
But those likes MPFL teams where they go ultimatum. 0700-993-993-993 is our number. I took that very quickly. So slow and steady wins the race. That's what they say, Chuma. Let's go again. 0700-993-993-993. And for our female caller, 01465-7190. This is Game On with Femi and the gang. The gang, no be hall back. Good evening to you.
Hello. Yeah, good evening.
Yes, good evening.
Yeah, my name is Adeyemi.
Great to hear from you.
Thank you. I'll just go straight to the point. Overdose give us full dose of the matter. If you give Pochettino 12 years, 20 years, they will not get out of it, because I think that Ibrahimovic has played a course on Chelsea. That's the truth. So they need to go and do spiritual cleansing. Apologize to that guy and everything will be alright for Chelsea. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much, really. But it was his baby. Even if he were to, let's say, lay cost to someone, it should perhaps be the British government and not Chelsea, perhaps. Okay, let's listen to one play, and I'll be back to pick more calls. This is still Game On with Femi and the gang on Nigeria Info. Brownish in here. the man Chidozie Okorojie in here to that of a dozen, and myself, Chuma. Let's get back to the phone lines. I want to get more of your thoughts before we switch to stories from other sports and then delve into results from the other big leagues in Europe, because there's a talk about Victor Osimhen and how he may have treated his manager, Rudy Garcia. Is that man Garcia? I'm not sure he is now, though. Hello, how are you doing?
Garcia. That man, Garcia. I'm not sure he is now, though. Hello, how are you doing?
It's sweet to hear my own voice, though. Adeboye.
Hey.
Thank you for joining us through Skype. Adeboye, where are you calling us from?
Right?
Yeah. What part of the world are you calling us from, please?
Yeah, I'm calling from DC anyway.
Oh, DC, man.
Yeah, but I think Overdizu is there too, right? I think I hear
him. Yeah. You heard me. I'm here. I see you, man.
Ah, Overdizu, my man.
What's up? How you doing?
So, Adeboye, while you're enjoying Washington, DC, I'm here in the studio enjoying the AC. Overdose is acting like he's the VC, you know, and then Brownish is the MC. You know, what's up, man?
Mean character vibes.
I'm good, bro. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be honest, Pochettino is, to be honest, is a decent manager. He's just a manager that's flattering to deceive, but a lot of people don't know. He's just a manager that people think is world class, or probably because of the clubs he has managed, PSG, Tottenham, and
Tottenham all that. Now. He built Tottenham to where they are today.
I think he just put them afloat to me.
Champions League final.
In a season where he didn't sign players. Yeah.
It still boils down to the fact that I would say he's still flattering to deceive.
Wow.
For real.
Wow.
So he's just a decent manager. So if Chelsea is expecting a rapid change.
Yeah.
Compared to their successes, like even the managers that they have had in the past. Pochettino will not take them to that promised land. I'm not saying he's not going to do a good job.
Okay.
He's
not that guy.
Still going to come. I don't want them to sack him, but Chelsea should not expect the kind of success they had with other managers using Pochettino. So, I fear for him, Sha. Okay. I just hope he bounces back, but if not, he might be facing the south.
All right, man. Thanks for your thoughts. Thank you so much. Ooh. Nice to hear from you all the way from DC, man. I see you, my brother. I see you from DC. That's good, eh? Emmanuel from Ikeja on WhatsApp says, Chuma, you should understand that none of those clubs you mentioned went into this kind of transition from Ibrahimovic to Todd Bowley with the Russian politics with England. Brownish wants to respond straight away, Brownish.
So, if I be very honest, I feel like we're expecting a bit too much of Chelsea. I think Chelsea are just transitioning back to where they were before Abramovich came. It's not necessarily...
Well, even with that, they were not bottom half. They used to be in top 10 still. I mean, they tried.
No, even with that...
That's Baba Yaru time, you get.
I think it took them 50 years before they came back to the Premier League.
Yeah, so they are an Aston Villa kind of team, if I'm being very honest. Now, all these other teams that you've mentioned, you know, as much as I hate to admit it, you know, Manchester United, they have history, right? We look at the Arsenal. The Arsenal have built their history. They might not have won the Champions League, but it is what it is, right? For example, now, if after Pep leaves, City goes back to being a mid-table team or even getting relegated, maybe they sell all their players and then they go into the trenches and go and find all the black boys that have dreads and come. Then because I think Chelsea's problem is a bit more than just, you know, Pochettino. First off, Pochettino is not him. Before, when he was coming to Chelsea, I kept saying, this guy is not the person that you want to bring in. Chelsea doesn't have a sporting project. Chelsea is like PSG without the dominance of bad teams. Now, PSG in any other league would probably be a very terrible team. They would probably be mid-table. If you bring PSG to La Liga, they wouldn't even hit mid-table. If you bring PSG to Premier League, they probably wouldn't hit mid-table because I feel like they're a mid-team, right? But they are in the league, so they can get away with a lot of rubbish, provided that they, you know, buy enough good players and then, you know, they put them enough in their team. So that's the same thing with Chelsea. So they have a lot of money. They don't have a sporting project, right? The difference between teams like Chelsea and then City and a team like Newcastle, as what Newcastle is coming back to being, because Newcastle does have history, is the fact that Newcastle and City have an idea of where they are going. They have a sporting project. It feels like Todd Bowley just had a very American mindset. Mm. Like, just throw enough money at the problem and it will go away. But that's not how football works. Football has a lot of cogs and, there's a lot of things that are involved in actually making football work on the pitch, right? And I don't think Mauricio Pochettino is the person to lead. For example, when Xavi came into Barcelona, one of the first things he did was that he needed to restructure the way the players were thinking.
Okay.
Right? It's like, he was talking to, at that point, he had his friends in the side. People like Jordi Alba, people like Sergio Busquets, who he had actually played with. And he was telling them that, look, we need to remember what it felt like to play for Barcelona. Why? Because the club has, the club has leaders. The club has people who experience some of the best days. Chelsea have sold Azpilicueta. Sterling is not really a Chelsea in quotes legend, right? The only player in that side that is a leader is Thiago Silva. He's not even a captain this season. So it's like there's no leaders in the team, first off. There are no players who will come in and change a game for you. Even as at that time, and I'm using Barcelona because they're the team that I feel like were on the verge of being like this.
Financial challenge.
You know, because they had, at some point, they literally had almost a first team of small boys. And Xavi still managed to make it work. You know, so the fact is, it's not like this Chelsea team cannot make it. They have a lot of talented youngsters. But the manager himself is not a personality. If you even brought, what's this Madrid coach now?
Julian Lopetegui?
No. The current Madrid coach. Don Carlo Ancelotti. Okay. So he's a very good man manager, right? But he has so much presence and charisma that the players would literally die on the pitch for him.
But you see the point that, which is the concern for me in this talk, right? Like I keep saying, if Chelsea were seventh, like Chelsea standard, seventh is struggling, right? But it's okay, it's the seventh, okay? Guys,
you can still battle back.
We went through a transition, we spend money, we have injury issues, okay, but we're seventh, okay? Chelsea are 14th. Guy, just one win in 6 games. Now, you're going to tell me Chuma is the beginning of the new season. I just a new season. Where did they finish last season? You would have thought that they learned their lessons. That's my point. So, Chelsea's struggle is not an average struggle. It's a collapsing struggle. It's that kind of struggle. Like, you're not Burnley now. You're not Aston Villa.
One of the worst parts is that...
You're not Fulham. You're Chelsea.
Even when they brought...
Back-to-back seasons, guy. Yeah.
Even when they brought a manager who knows what it's like to dominate with Chelsea, talking about Frank Lampard, he still could not infuse, he didn't have enough character to infuse that love of the club.
So maybe we shouldn't blame the coach at this stage anymore. Maybe,
I just feel like the team itself. How many of those teams?
Tuchel,
okay.
Before then, Sakam, he struggled a bit by his previous high standard to Chelsea. Graham Potter came in, struggled. They say he's not Chelsea standard, he's a small boy, he could only do well at Brighton. Salto came in, interim manager, 2 games or so, still struggled.
Chelsea need somebody like...
The team were still salty on that Salto.
Not even Sarri.
Frank Lampard came. Success was still hampered.
Mm-hmm.
Now you bring Pochettino. Guy, it's spiritual. Hey, let's go to the phone line.
Spiritual.
I don't want to complete it. 0700.
You bring Pochettino. Chelsea are playing like what I don't know.
Bro, now you know. Pochettino. Yeah, 0700.
They put Chelsea for pocket,
993, 993. I'm asking, really, guys, because, again, somebody could argue that it's beyond coach. So nobody should say anything about Sack now as regards Pochettino. But I'm saying, how much longer do Chelsea have to struggle before a conversation of Sack comes up for a Pochettino? When are we going to have that elastic limit, right? When do you think it's going to be enough is enough if Chelsea keeps struggling like this before that conversation of potentially sacking the manager comes into the picture? Or are you one of those who would just say, Chuma, no matter how badly Chelsea struggle this season, let Poch be there from start to finish. Let him finish the season. Let's see what happens, okay? Let's get your thoughts now. 0700-993-993-993. And for our female caller, 01465-7190. Still to come on Game On tonight. We will be touching a bit on the National Youth Games taking place in Asaba in Delta State now. Speaking about Formula 1 too, and then delving into the result of the high-profile leagues in Europe away from the Premier League. Victor Osimhen may be in trouble in Napoli as we speak. Well, this is a message on WhatsApp that says, good evening, guys. Chelsea players are down psychologically. They have no reason to lose to Aston Villa. A great team like Chelsea must not lose the first 10 games. Give the coach ultimatum to win the next 3 matches or lose bonuses. He now says, then top 6 before the first half of the season, or you talk about sack. His name is Sunday from Shango. Thanks for that, Sunday on WhatsApp. Hi, good evening. Sorry about that. That one was dead on arrival. They should give us revival. What's up? Good evening.
Yeah, good evening, Chuma.
Yes, your life on Game On.
Yeah, I agree with you, other guys.
Yeah.
Over to you.
I greet you. Good evening.
Yeah. And
Brown.
Brown, yeah, Brownish.
Can you just do this in 10 seconds before I go in for a commercial break, or do you want to call back?
Okay, let me call back.
All right, thank you so much. I appreciate it, okay? One more time to fly for this live show. We're not too far away from 9 p.m. Yeah. So let's try and maximize the next 15 minutes or so. Yeah, that's Overdose. That's a voice you're listening to right now. You know, and again, Brownish is here acting like a gentleman of the press, but soon you'll hear him say something again to impress for sure. my name is Chuma and Lily. Let's go back to more of your comments on social media so we can touch on other stories for you right here on the Game On Show with Femi and the gang. This one says, the Rhyme Master, I feel you. Good evening, everyone in the house. I agree with Over Diesel. Chelsea need to go and beg Abramovich because he might cost, he might have cost that club. Also, they need to beg Thomas Tuchel that our coach really did love Chelsea and then they sacked him, he says. The Prince, Yori Yori from Magboro, is sending that to us. This says, hi, hello, Chuma, Overdose. Brownish, Daisy, I beg, let Chelsea coach remain. Oh, some of us enjoy watching them lose. SY from Amor Dauphin has that one. Pochettino should be left to walk. All this talk of sacking is unnecessary at this point. That, you see, that's my exact question. I'm like, how much longer should he have before talk of sacking starts? Because for now, there's no talk of sacking, you get. And he now goes on to say, let the manager do his job. He needs to pick a strong 11 first. The backroom staff have to support him by reducing those injuries. How many coaches will a club keep sacking and hiring? The fans are just spoiled, he says. Ima Lagos sending that to us. Thank you, Ima, for that. Yeah, there's also X at Nigeria Info FM, a handle that with your comments gets lighted up like a candle. Yeah, it's a lighted handle, that one. Feel free to keep your thoughts coming through. I'll read out a few of them before the end of the broadcast this evening. For now, let's keep it going. Well done to this beautiful 8-year-old golfer, Funmilayo Beauty Oyero, who's the youngest athlete representing not just Lagos State, but the youngest athlete in all of the 7th National Youth Games in Asaba, Delta State. And she's just a basic 4 pupil at a Nigerian primary school somewhere in Ota here in Lagos. And she's playing golf. She's been playing golf since she was 1 year old. That's amazing, incredible. It's beautiful to see these things happen when you see young stars shine at a very tender age. And also kudos to her parents who've opted to allow her at that very young age to travel to Asaba to compete. And speaking about young stars, this is from an international perspective now. She's 8, Funmilayo, that is. This other person is 9 years old, a skateboarder who goes by the name Mazel Alegado. Actually has the world at her feet with her brilliance with a skateboard. She's the youngest member of the Philippines team at the Asian Games and thought to be the youngest competitor at the entire event. She finished 7th in the women's park final in Hangzhou, China. How does this make you guys feel, you know, Overdose and Brownish, when you see young stars? Like, this is an 8-year-old Nigerian, a 9-year-old Philippine. They're already doing great things at their very young age.
I mean, it warms the heart, doesn't it? I mean, you always want them to start young. And most of the greats I know in sports have always started from a young age. But again, you know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. It's a positive thing. But then again, you know, for Nigeria, you could also look at it and say, will she get the adequate support? Will she get the right support? Because athletes need that if they are to thrive. I know that in other countries, once they spot a very bright talent like this, they take it upon themselves to provide everything she needs, give her the best of coaching crew, and of course the facilities that she will use in order to become one of the world's best, if not the world's best. But in Nigeria, you always have to hustle and struggle and walk your way to the top. And then when you now start succeeding, then you see people coming to take the glory and say, no, yes, it's one of our own. But how did she get there? You really have no idea, if not for family and maybe a close friend or one or two close people that have taken it upon themselves to say, okay, let's push this talent that we see and let's help this person succeed. So I think the Nigerian factor will always be there, but it's a good thing that they're starting like this. I just hope that the sports ministry and the new man now, John Enoh, will come on board and say, okay, you know what? These young guys that are making us proud, let's have a future for them. Okay. Let's give them something to build on.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, you can now say, okay, yes, Nigerian sports ministry or the sports sector actually achieved this. But we all know the story in Nigeria. it's all about athletes grinding their way to the top, and then the top officials will say, oh, this is our own, one of our own. Yes, we are proud of you.
Politics, but... I was saying it goes soon, because that's the famous line, one of our own.
Yeah.
Let's touch on Formula One now quickly before we get back to football, right? Because Red Bull's Max Verstappen has made things happen again. He went on to dominate and won the Japanese Grand Prix. Someone says Grand Prix. Don't try that at home, though, guys.
I remember I used to call it that when
Grand,
I was little.
Grand Prix. Because right? That's his spelling now.
Yeah, but someone said the X is, come on, don't do that.
Grand Prix, my friend. Yeah. Okay. It was the 13th victory of the year for the guy Verstappen. And he's also helped his team Red Bull to clinch the Constructors title, as that's called, actually. Amazing stuff, Red Bull. What they have done for themselves in Formula One is simply incredible. Their dominance this season is out of this world. And hey, at this stage, we know that it's just a matter of time before Verstappen wins another Formula One title. He's going to win it. There's no doubt about that, because the distance between himself and his closest rivals keeps getting wider, really, the disparity as the world is now. I want to get a bit more of clarity, so I want to run through. I'm stuttering now because I do run like, say, hot yam the inside my mouth, my brother. I'll see you, because time will be my friend right
definitely.
Now.
Yeah, definitely.
Your guy, Israel Adesanya, don't apologize. You know, he got behind the wheel after drinking at a dinner. That's in that Brownie spoke about earlier in Auckland. You know, he's apologized that, guys, I drank something before I started driving. I'm so sorry. I will not do it again. He said, I'm disappointed with my decision to drive. It was wrong. I know that people might follow me, and I want them to know I do not think this behavior is acceptable. The Nigerian-born New Zealand in Adesanya was beaten by Sean Strickland earlier this month when he lost his middleweight title at UFC 293, and now he's gone into a bit of controversy as to drinking and driving, but he's apologized for that. I hope he gets fine after this one. Like, I don't know if he gets it fine.
I hope he didn't destroy the car or whatever.
No, he didn't have an accident, as much as I know that he did. Okay. I don't know. Okay. Oh yeah, Victor Osimhen, I beg. Make I just talk about you.
Osimhen.
Well, we're hearing that Napoli are considering, you know, having to sanction the Nigerian striker after he berated his manager Rudy Garcia during their goal extra with Bologna on Sunday. So he missed the penalty in that game, Victor Osimhen, right? And then towards the end of the game, Garcia decided to substitute the Nigerian. Osimhen, Vex! And now put two fingers in the air. The two fingers actually meant, apparently, perhaps meant, in a game like this where we're looking for goals, there should be two strikers now. Why are you removing me? You know? And the reports now, according to Martino, is that Osimhen and Garcia will meet in the coming hours, if they have not met already, at Napoli's training ground to discuss the incident, and the striker could be fined for his outburst. I saw pictures, you know, he didn't really look too good, to be honest. Pictures or not video of Osimhen's anger, and I'm wondering if it can be justified. You know, yeah, you're the star man for the team, you know, you're a top scorer for them last season, top scorer in the Serie A too last season. But is the coach not the coach?
The coach is the coach.
Can that be justified?
The coach
is the coach. Overdose comes in.
Yes, so in my opinion, right, for as a fan, you want to see this kind of dedication and passion from your players, right? But you also have to understand that there has to be a hierarchy, right? My own main problem is, so I don't want there to be a shift between, like a rift between Osimhen and his coach. Let them settle it as men. Even if he gets fined, that's fine. You know, at some point, it's the same thing that happened last season when Xavi brought out Rafinha, and Rafinha was so pissed that he actually kicked a bottle when he went on the bench. And Xavi came outside later and he was like, that, you know, that's the kind of energy that they were trying to get in Barcelona. What, things are not going well, and a player gets taken off, he thinks he can still do more. So he doesn't want to get taken off. So if he had come out docilely with his head bowed, it would have been a problem. Because you're the leader, you're the top man there. And he's already missed a penalty in that game. He wants to make restitution as fast as possible. He wants to get on the score sheet. He wants to help the team win. So while football is a very passionate game, right? So while we're not making excuses for him, and we feel like, you know, a sanction or maybe a fine is not out of the way. But the point is, he and his manager need to sit down and they need to understand each other. And they need to, you know, communicate, because in games like it could either do one of two things. It could create a rift that would then create a rift in the dressing room, or it could bring them closer and the manager understands the player understands the manager, they have a better bond, and in the next game, he's your top striker, you trust him, put him in, sort him out.
Yeah. Bro, you're speaking like a seer, actually.
But I just wanted to add.
No, before you add, he already said it that, you know, they should see as men. So I'm sure that you said Garcia. Victor Osimhen. Victor Osimhen.
Unagi.
Oh boy, Osimhen. As in Osimhen.
Victor boy, Osimhen now.
Man. You understand? Osimhen.
Senior man.
Victor Osimhen.
Come on, we're going. Sorry. I'll finish the show. Come on, we're
going.
But again, I mean, just like I wanted to say, I want to say right now.
Yeah.
The coach is the coach, no doubt about it. But did Osimhen do that in such a way so as to, you know, belittle his headship or rubbish him in front of other players? If he did that, then that's where I feel he took it too far. But then again, just like Brownie said, this guy missed a penalty. He wants to make up for it. Now, you're looking at the fact that Victor was not victorious with the penalty. But that again, that being said, he wants to make up. And if, as a manager, you're substituting him, saying, oh, you've seen the best of him and, you know, nothing has come off. At that moment, rush of blood can come.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw Rodri rush abroad against Nottingham Forest for Man City.
Yes.
And he pushed Gibbs White.
Something
we've seen,
him.
Yeah, exactly. We've seen these things happen over time. So if I was the coach, I'll just like have a word with Victor and tell him that, look, I'm the coach. If you do that again, I'm going to sanction you. But then again, I mean, they are men, so they can iron these things out. I don't think it will spill over to the dressing room or affect Victor.
And he said something really. As I just touched on other results, and we leave the studio because time is not our best friend anymore. You said something about this Victor not giving his team victory, but I know a Victor that did for his team, and he has a Boniface. Victor Boniface. He scored a couple of goals for Bayer Leverkusen as they won their fixture in the Bundesliga, convincing victory for that Nigerian and his team. They scored four goals in that winning by 4-2-1 against a newly promoted side. Yeah, Heidenheim. That team, the name still never glued for my mouth yet. I just talk them anyhow. No vex. Heidenheim or something like that. Thank you, sir. Eintracht Frankfurt and Freiburg played out a 0-0 draw. These were results from Sunday. Also on Sunday in the Italian Serie A, it was Atalanta 2, Cagliari 0, Bologna 0, Napoli 0. That result that infuriated Victor Osimhen. AS Roma and Torino shared the spoils 1-1. And we saw Inter beat Empoli away from home by a goal to nothing. For the Spanish La Liga, Branish is feeling himself too much. Atletico Madrid beat Real in the Madrid derby. And Morata was now shining like he's a star boy in this match. Okay, we also see that where 4-3 victors over Getafe. And we saw Real Betis not finding it easy against Cardiff. A game ending 1-1. Now, I can touch on Saturday's results, or can't I? Very quickly now for you guys. Barcelona came from behind, the biggest comeback of the weekend in the big leagues
from
in Europe.
2-1.
2-2 against
2-0. Yeah, 3-2. Yeah.
I saw one guy.
I saw that Spanish comeback.
I saw your response to the guy. He said he was going to go cut his entire hair or something if Barca had come back. Muna followed the guy.
Lewandowski and Jao Cancelo. No, Jao Cancelo really did well.
No, you already said it now. Yao can say hello.
Yao can say hello.
Yao.
He goes in 9 minutes.
I don't know why I still call him Cancelo.
Cancelo.
All right.
I'll send it out to the studio now. Girona 5. Mallorca 3, Joe. I bet, guys, that's another result.
I'm on a Sheffield United top pass this weekend.
For the Italian Serie A, AC Milan 1, Verona 0. And we saw Lazio and Monza share the spoils 1-1. Juventus losing to Sassuolo. Sassuolo swallowed Juventus by 4-2.
You
don't talk about finish, actually. And just buckle up, because Bochum 2 were messed up by Bayern. 7-0 for Bayern over Bochum. Harry Kane is insane with his goals, my brother. I tell you, he's on it again. You know what's up? I think we can leave it at that because our time don't finish, guys. Borussia Dortmund beating Wolfsburg by a goal to nothing. Can I read two messages before we say bye bye? Maybe I can. This says
five more goals.
Poch needs to drop some players and play some players in the right position. And also, Chelsea need a proper 9, not Jackson.
Oh, I know what he means.
Okay.
Poch needs to drop some players. That's in his Poch.
For Inca.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when he picks them up, Uba he drops them.
Exactly. Brownish, thanks for being on the show tonight, man.
Pleasure. You already know the vibes. Go follow us on social media at 5G Official. You can follow me personally at AM Brownish. It's AMBROWNISH.
I'm feel like rapper.
And I did rap now. Yeah, drop bars, innit?
Yeah. Don't forget who this guy be for this night.
You don't know me.
Okay. On that note, you don't talk about overdose. Thank you.
No, we're
not doing as Femi and the Gang because we have a commercial break, actually. So there's going to be stoppage time La Liga by 9 p.m. after this commercial break. Mr. Ma will be here with his crew. Brownish will also still be here. And then our partners Talk Sports will come through with the wrap of the action for the weekend.
I do.
From 9:30. So there's still so much more excitement.
Can I do my bye-bye?
On sports, on Nigeria for tonight. Yes, sir.
All right, then. Bye-bye, guys. I'll catch you next time.
You don't want to talk again. You don't talk. My name is Chuma Nali, guys. Stay with us. Stay with the very best. There's more excitement from the world of sports for you right here on Nigeria Info after this quick commercial break.